Nichols. I've Nichols seen people put like bags of pennies, all kinds of stuff up there near finals. But like I said, final start.
Depends how bad you are.
Yeah, final start this week over at the big campus. So there you go. 1919, May 4th, Statue of Sol Ross is dedicated. We got to go to the big break. When we come back, let's talk A&M baseball. And we're going to talk about the unstoppable Houston Astros. See, they're the best team ever. We're going to talk about that in the second hour. Of course, keep texting us, 229-1939. Come back with us. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagles. Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone, 102.7 FM.
Your home for Aggie baseball is Sports Radio 1150 The Zone. Every hit, every win, every game, all season long can be heard right here on your home for Aggie athletics. Sports Radio 1150 The Zone. This is Sports Radio 1150 KZNE and KND HD3 College Station Bryan.
Sports Flash.
I'm Jay Berman. Certainly no surprise that this guy is the NBA's most valuable player.
Curry changed direction, comes right, step back off the dribble, triple! Are you kidding me?
Oh, we never kid here on CBS Sports Radio. Steph Curry received 100 of a possible 130 first place votes. James Harden finished second. Third place goes to LeBron, Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis. Round out the top five. Meanwhile, on the court tonight, a pair of round two openers, Bulls and Cavs from Cleveland. Meanwhile, the nightcap features the Clippers and Rockets from Houston. According to reports, Chris Paul unlikely to play tonight. He battled through a hamstring injury on Saturday against the Spurs. He did, of course, hit the game-winning shot. All right, to baseball now, and the hottest team in the majors. That's right.
Ground ball hit to the right side. Altuve to his right has it. The second for one. Gonzalez on the first. That's two, and that's the ball game. They get 10 straight wins for the Houston Astros.
How about that? Your Houston Astros all alone atop the American League West standings. They've won 10 straight. The Astros will host the Rangers tonight. Dallas Keuchel's been tremendous. The Brewers fired manager Ron Renicke on Sunday. Today they introduced their new skipper, Greg Council.
I'm a Milwaukee Brewer. You know, I've always felt that way. Baseball in this city is important to me. It's part of me. I feel a responsibility for it. I always have.
All right, the crew hosting the Dodgers tonight. From the NFL, it's unlikely the Seahawks will exercise the fifth-year option on pass rusher Bruce Irvin. I'm Jay Berman.
Hey, this is DA, and you have permission to board the mothership weeknights, 6 until 10 Eastern on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Patrick Zeiner with your community calendar on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM, brought to you by GroundShuttle.com. Distinguished Professor Peter J. Stang will explain how natural but spontaneous events at the molecular levels support all life on our planet during his lecture, Having Fun with Molecules, tonight at 7 in the Forum of the Rudder Theater Complex. Come out to Santa's Wonderland on Saturday for the second annual Brazos County Law Enforcement Barbecue Cook-Off. Meet your local law enforcement and enjoy live music, activities, and barbecue. Call 777-3989 to purchase tickets. Registration for the Arts Council's summer camp is now open. Fine Art Camp, Comic Book Camp, Art Lab for Girls, and the new Fiber Fun Camp will run Monday through Friday from June through August at the Arts Center. All your favorite shows, all your favorite teams can now be heard on the FM dial. Listen in on Zone 102.7 FM. Today, sunny and 81. Tonight, mostly clear and 58. GroundShuttle.com offers frequent and reliable shuttles between Bryan College Station and both Houston airports. Commute in comfort with luxury shuttles with reclining seats, power outlets, and Wi-Fi coming soon. GroundShuttle.com. Let us do the driving.
Congress is getting ready to give Obama even more power. If Congress gives Obama fast-track trade authority, he can use it to rewrite our immigration laws. That's bad for American jobs. Obama's executive amnesty was bad enough, but fast-track would be even worse. Fast-track paves the way for Obama to change America's immigration law without asking Congress. What are these Washington politicians thinking? Obama says fast-track is about trade? It's really about open borders. We can't trust Obama with fast-track power, not after everything he's done. Tell your congressman we expect them to stop Obama's immigration power grab. Vote no on Fast Track. Take action. Tell Congress, vote no on Fast Track. Stop Obama's open borders agenda. Go to ObamaTrade.com. 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 Paid for by Americans for Limited Government.
Come stand with the 12th man at all Texas A&M athletic events. You make a difference for our student athletes in our venues. Tickets are available at 888-99-AGGIE or visit 12thman.com/tickets. Thanks and gig 'em. Aggie fans, Texas A&M Athletics is always just a few clicks away on your digital device. Stay connected by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Visit 12thman.com/social media for a complete social media directory.
Moms love healthy gifts from Massage Envy Spa.
For me, this is my day to relax, find balance, and feel loved. The love part is covered. Massage Envy Spa will handle the rest.
Healthier gifts mean happier moms. Massage Envy Spa now has complete Mother's Day packages for under $100. That's a massage and facial. Show mom just how much you appreciate her. Visit Massage Envy Spa College Station in the Tower Point Shopping Center off Highway 6 at William D. Fitch. Hurry in to Massage Envy Spa. Mother's Day is Sunday, May 10th.
Hello.
For more information on the Zone 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150, visit Zone1150.com now.
And now it's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Back. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna. We're brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out mscopus.org for more information on the new season, the season that dreams are made of. mscopus.org has all the information on that and all the great shows that are going to be part of that next year. See, so lots of good stuff there. Hit us up, 979-229-1939. Text us. Let us know what's on your mind. We're going to talk a little A&M baseball. What we usually do, we kind of set it up, talk about the weekend from our perspective, and then Justin Seeley will come in and tell us their perspective. But before we get to college baseball season, got to give a little bit of a shout-out. I've been doing it for a couple weeks now, and for quite frankly, as long as this train is rolling, we're not going to get off of it. The Houston Astros are suddenly unbeatable, it seems like, no matter what happens. The games can be 3-2, they can be 11-10, or whatever it was the other night. And it's just, well, somehow they keep winning games. And the question so much anymore isn't, like, is this sustainable? The answer is no. You can't sustain a team that's, what, 17-7 now, or 18-7?
18-7, 25 games.
Yeah, the best record in franchise history in 25 games. You can't sustain that. But I think more and more people are going, you know, hey, these pieces fit together, that this is a team that does have a good shot at the postseason, when that was maybe the goal next season. The Astros are a little bit ahead of schedule. Well, right now they're a lot ahead of schedule because it looks like they could win the World Series right now, and that's probably not going to happen. But it's been a fascinating thing to watch, Cease.
Well, last night, you always, when you get the national attention, ESPN did a lot of things talking about the best starts in Major League Baseball in 25 games since, I think, going to the divisions, the splits we have. And you got to go back, I think Seattle that year, they went 113, 116. They were 7 games in front. It's just unbelievable that I think that matched the biggest lead a team has had in their division after 25 games. The Astros tied, I believe it is, Seattle. But you start looking, they're 7 games out. And I have to laugh. We've got one guy in the office who is a Astro hater. And it was funny listening to him last night because he said, well, wait till the Astros start playing people outside their division. And Rich was down there too. And go, don't the other teams also have to play the teams outside the division? I think the bottom line is the Astros have a 7-game lead by playing everybody in their division. They proved by far in their record. I want to say they've got one of the best records also against their division. You know, it's weighted. It depends when you're going to play your divisional opponents. But I got to laugh. Everything points to we're sixth of the way through the season, and the Astros have a seven-game lead.
Yeah, I mean, they're just destroying their in-division competition so far. And then, you mean, they swept the Padres, who was a non-division, like, interleague series, I believe, right? The Padres are in the NL.
Yeah. They are now, what is it, 18-0 when they've led a game.
Yeah, they're 17-0.
They haven't blown a lead.
Well, I guess now they're 18-0. They have to be 18.
They haven't blown a lead.
Well, they have blown a lead, but then they regained it.
Yeah, but I'm saying when they lost, they were never ahead.
Yeah, if they've led, they've won every game.
If they've led, they've won all those games.
Which is a fascinating statistic. The other thing was, I saw a tweet earlier from Richard Justice, who, of course, used to work at the Chronicle and now works for MLB.com. But the Astros currently lead the majors in home runs, stolen bases, and strikeouts. The last team to do that for a whole season was the 38 Yankees. So we'll see if that can keep up.
Once the Astros got rid of Richard Justice as a beat writer, they've been rolling. And I like Richard. He does a great job. I've known him for... So he does a great job on base. That's why he went to MLB.
Yeah, but it's... But
they're rolling, man.
Well, and it's fun to watch. Like I said, like you said last week, you want to see him keep playing. Now they've got the Rangers coming in.
But now let's be honest. Has there been a team at 25 games this good where you know so few little players on their team? If I'm talking about outside Texas. If you're looking at, you know, in Chicago and places, because... Astros have been so bad.
Part of that is by design.
Exactly.
They blew up the whole thing.
They redid their roster.
But I bet at this point, I would think...
Well, everybody knows Altuve.
Yeah, I was going to say, at this point, Altuve is a bona fide star.
Then other than Altuve...
I think people are getting to know Keuchel.
Okay, but it'd be hard-pressed to walk up to 10 baseball fans in New York City and say, name me five Astros.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen.
No, I think they'd get Altuve, Keuchel.
Altuve.
Then maybe Evan Gattis, just because he has this sort of like weird cult following.
Well, now you're starting to get the ESPN highlights. But I'm saying now. Yeah. But a week ago, I don't think Altuve.
I don't think Colby
Mike
Rasmus.
Mike Scott, you know,
I don't think Colby Rasmus and Jason Castro are really bringing in the too many fans yet. But,
that's my point.
But then it's crazy, though. It's a little bit
can
of
can you
everything.
Name the Astros every position?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, then you're a true fan.
Yeah, just around wondering. The infield. Well, they have the Conger guy that plays catcher sometimes. But I think I could.
Well, then you do know. I'm just asking.
Yeah. I think I could.
That's what
it.
You tell if you're a fan. Can you name every position
player?
Well, now, last
year, I don't know that I could have named anyone on the team other than
Altuve.
Going into opening night other than Altuve. Altuve, Castro, and Keuchel. But this year, I think I could get all of it. Part of it, the big reason that we keep coming back to, I saw someone tweeting, like, where have all these Astros fans been? Two things. One, the team's been horrible. And it's one thing to be a fan and be a bandwagoner. But the other thing is, when your team intentionally blows up the franchise for 5 years. And that's what the Astros did. I mean, they didn't make any bones about it. They just made a conscious decision to be the worst team in baseball for like 4 years.
To revamp
them. Yeah, when you do that, then it's hard to buy. It's hard for the fans to, you know, be a fan because they know the goal is to be horrible. So you're going to be out of it. So that's one, the team's been terrible. But two, no one could watch them. Which now they finally can. I saw someone saying they were disappointed with their ratings so far on Root Sports, but that those ratings are still four times better than what they were getting on CSN Houston last year.
Maybe Ranger fans will be encouraged. Maybe they'll blow up the Rangers this year, and you'll be five years away.
Maybe I don't know, but it is pretty crazy. There's been a lot of.
But you got Josh Hamilton. So hey,
yeah,
what can you say? It still hasn't played yet.
No, but he could. They're trying to move him up. He could play. Was it AAA as early as this week?
Yeah,
try
to bring him back against the Astros. You know,
well, they play this week.
A big
so
national game. They'll play again.
I don't know if he'll make it quite back for this week's, but yeah, it's been fun to watch the Astros. And again, I know a lot of the people that have been waiting for the Astros to come around. We all know they're not this good, but the simple truth is they are pretty good, and they might be good enough to make the playoffs.
The flip side of my Pirates that bad. My Pirates lost three extra inning games in St. Louis. I think they ended up playing, I forget how many hours, they played 12 innings, 14 innings, 2-1, 2-1, 3-2. My Pirates were 2-for-25 with runners in scoring position, and one of those hits was by 38-year-old A.J. Burnett. That's when you're going bad. And then you start to say, where is that panic button?
Where did we hide it?
Where
did we hide
is that panic button?
By the way, real quick, before we go to A&M baseball, someone texted, did you see the Texas graduate assistant, the coach guy that kind of tweeted a shot?
Oh, yeah.
Bryce Petty.
It was
what
awesome.
Are you doing? The texter said, I thought I had maroon-colored glasses. I mean, what are you doing?
And you go like, Petty never lost to Texas, did he? I mean, you know, and
so
it's like,
destroyed him,
he should have come to Texas so he could lose? I mean, what is...
My thing is right
that
now...
That guy has to work for the Longhorn Network, too.
Well, does anyone think that... I don't care how good your quarterback's coach is. And to be fair, they probably have a perfectly fine quarterback's coach. I'm not trying to hate on the guy. But... Is anyone going to say, and keep in mind, it's easy to make fun of him now because has not been good. But is there anyone out there that thinks Tyrone Swoops is going to play quarterback for an NFL team?
Oh, it was just stupidity. And once again, social media, got to be careful.
Don't be dumb.
Things like that, it's one thing to be bad, but don't be bad and stupid. So when you having him on
the
show?
Well, let's just say the flipping gears back. We got the text. I wanted to get to that. Let's talk A&M Tennessee a couple minutes. Then we're going to go to break and get Justin Seeley on the phone to get his thoughts on the series. A&M did what they had to do this weekend. They went out there, swept Tennessee. What are they now? 41-7 or whatever it is.
41-7. Correct.
All they got to do really
is tied with LSU.
If they split,
for first.
Yeah, they're tied with LSU for first in NFC West. If they split from here on out,
they do have two good series left. South Carolina, Ole Miss playing better than they had played before, right?
If they have the midweek game against Sam Houston next week, if they win that one, split the rest, they're probably our national seed.
Oh, you look who's at 9 and 10. They would have to have collapsed to fall out of the top eight because they've done so well, and that goes for LSU as well. Florida, you see, Florida fell by the wayside. Florida had a tough week. I don't see Florida getting a top eight seed. I see Vanderbilt, A&M, and LSU getting the three top eight seeds from the SEC.
Yeah, and there was times this weekend where they weren't great, but they did what they had to do to win.
Tennessee's not a good program.
No.
Not a good team. They're not going
anywhere.
Not a good
team, yeah.
But they're at home. You know, they're going to put up a fight. It's hard to sweep any team, but that's what A&M needed to do, and they did. And Matt Kent, you talk about Childress making the right moves. If they don't have him in the bullpen – they probably lose yesterday. He came in with the bases loaded, nobody out in an 8-6 game, and gave up a base hit right off the bat, and then turns a double play, and then lined. I mean, anybody else, they probably lose that game. They're 1-2. They're 2-1, not as good, but Matt Kent, great, great effort by him.
There you go. We'll get Justin Seeley's thoughts on it when we come back. Stay with us. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM.
If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Normandy Tractor. At Normandy Tractor, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. And right now, get the best deal of the spring with the Kubota L2501F 25-horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot Land Pride shredder, complete with a $300 factory rebate and a $500 cash rebate. Only $12,195 or 10% down and payments of only $162 per month. Normandy Tractor asks you, why buy used when you can buy used with prices and payments as low as these? Need to finance? Normandy makes it easy with zero down payment and 0% financing on all new Kubota tractors and lawn equipment. And remember, most any trade-in could be your down payment. Normandy Tractor voted best of the Brazos since 2002. Remember to shop the internet specials at normandytractor.com, located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Normandy, Texas. And remember, nobody beats Normandy Tractor.
It's the season dreams are made of. Texas A&M University's MSC Opus will announce the enchanting events coming to its 43rd season on Thursday night, April the 23rd. If you're wondering what Opus has in store for Aggieland in the 2015-16 season, stay connected to Opus on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or visit mscopus.org. Bryan Broadcasting is proud to be an official media partner of Opus Season 43.
Spirit Ice Arena invites you to come join them for their annual Spring Ice Show as they bring you Lights, Camera, Skate. Come see the most talented skaters from the Brazos Valley perform selections from Anastasia, High School Musical, Little Mermaid, Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, Singing in the Rain, Sound of Music, and more. Performances are Friday, May 15th and Saturday, May 16th, with tickets just $12. Spirit Ice Arena at 400 Holloman Drive in College Station. For more information, call Spirit Ice Arena at 693-3900 or click spiriticearena.com. Something's always going on at the Tap, day or night, before, during, or after the game. The Tap is the home for all your sports watching needs. A great night out, delicious fare, and good times. Whether it's their weekday lunch special, which includes a side and a soft drink for only $6.99, to nightly entertainment like Karaoke Monday, 90s Ladies Night Tuesday, Piano Bar Wednesday, Front Porch Fridays, and more. Click on TapBCS.com and follow TapBCS on Twitter to stay on top of the latest live music dates, info, and news. The Tap, bleeding maroons and 1990.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Hello.
For more information on the Zone 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150, visit zone1150.com now.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna. And joining us, as we do every Monday, to talk about A&M baseball is assistant coach Justin Seeley. Coach, quite the weekend. A lot of players had big weekends. A lot of people really could have been the MVP of the week. We already mentioned in the last segment the weekend that Matt Kent had. But when someone's named SEC Player of the Week, who are we to argue, Coach? Mitchell now... quite the weekend. I wonder if you can talk about just not only his weekend, but the whole week he had and just how well he's been playing lately.
Yeah, he's, you know, he went through a stretch there probably about, maybe about 2 weeks ago where he was swinging it just okay, getting his hits, but not really at the same clip he had done all season. And then, you know, lo and behold, we roll around to this week and he's got himself back righted. And, you know, it's funny, you think a guy's slumping and he drops down to about, you know, 340 or 350 in our lineup. So, but pretty nice to have him back rolling, and couldn't have been at a better time. We needed him, you know, in the spot that he was at in the lineup. I mean, he came up with a lot of opportunities to drive in runs and big runs for us, and, boy, he stepped up and pretty much cashed in on every opportunity he had.
Yeah, I mean, he did it with big hits, the double. He had a big sack fly in yesterday's game. And I want to kind of get your thoughts on how y'all played this weekend. Obviously, you can't argue with the results. You get a road sweep, always hard to do in the SEC. But did you think that y'all played particularly well this weekend?
It's going to sound funny. Judging by the scores, I thought Saturday was the worst ball game we played. Just walking away from that game, I thought from an offensive standpoint, I thought we left, we just did not apply pressure the whole game. We got the big hit from Mitch, and then Nick got a big hit, hitting a double off wall score run to get the game back tied. I wasn't real happy with how our offense performed in that game. We punched out way too much in that particular game. We didn't click on all cylinders offensively. And then Ryan Hendricks went out. I mean, if you look at his line, you think, wow, that guy had a really good outing. But I thought his first couple of innings, he was not as sharp as he could have been, which is probably saying something. He didn't give up a one run, and he wasn't as sharp as he could have been. But, I thought that game we left some stuff out there, and we should have played a lot better. The other two games, I thought we played pretty good. I mean, I was pleased with how we played. And Dave Serrano is a very good coach, is a very well-respected coach. He's a head coach at Tennessee. I mean, he's taken two different programs to Omaha, so he knows what he's doing. And, after the weekend, I had read somewhere that he had said this is the best his team had played. This is the most proud he was of his team, that this is the best they had played all year. And so I tend to believe him that they – because it felt like it. I mean, every game was tooth and nail. And I felt like other than Saturday, I felt like we played pretty good.
Talking about good moves, talk about you moved Matt Kent to the bullpen, and yesterday game on the line, home crowd's getting into it. Canada pitched today before, comes in. Just talk about his move to the bullpen and what he did yesterday, what pitch was working for him to get out of that jam.
Well, really, it, you know, the fastball is the lightest of the three if you're just trying to grade him, you know, from an evaluator standpoint. But he really located his fastball to his glove side and was it was crisp. You know, there's, you know, 86 miles an hour is not the same every day. Sometimes you're under the ball. Sometimes you're making the ball run when you want to make the ball sink. And, you know, yesterday he really had a crisp fastball. He was able to get it to his glove side. And then that allowed him to change speeds. Man, if we don't have him this week, we may be 2-2, you know, just this week. Mm-hmm. Because Texas State, he was huge in that game coming in behind Turner. And then, obviously, the games this weekend, I mean, he's the central focus for us on the mound, basically. So, I mean, just an incredible effort by him and a guy that had struggled for a couple weeks and now has bounced back and done a nice job. So, and we've got some guys in his shoes right now that are struggling a little bit that we feel really strong they're going to bounce back.
Now, what about him in the bullpen, though? It seems like maybe he's not the prototype reliever in the 94 fastball, but he's probably, does he have the arm where he can maybe pitch more innings and pitch more times during the week?
But yeah, there's probably some truth to that. I think that what helps him as much as anything is he's coming off the guys that are throwing 94. You know, like, he's just a different look than what we have. A lot of the guys in our bullpen are a lot of, you know, firm fastball, sharp secondary, and not that his secondary isn't sharp, but he's left-handed, and he's going to pitch you backwards a little bit more than those guys are. So I think that may help him as much as anything, just going out and doing what he normally does, but doing it off of guys that are a much different look.
How much of an edge, or do you feel you got a psychological edge? Last week we talked about you're able to win the last game of the LSU series. You lose it, but you come off a great win. Tennessee was on verge of winning the last game at home, getting a big lift. You're able to play well the last two innings, and you are going to win the series, but the psychological edge, the extra of getting the sweep.
Yeah, I think Coach Silver said it good when we were coming back from LSU. I thought it was pretty funny when he said it, but, you know, makes the bus ride, the 7-hour bus ride feel like six, coming back from LSU, and the 2-hour flight coming back from Tennessee feel like an hour. You know, everything's better when you win, especially when you walk away with a win on Sunday. You know, your breakfast tastes a lot better on Monday morning. You slept a lot better on Sunday evening. It's just, you know, there's a lot of things to be taken away, and especially in the manner that we did it. With their closer on the mound in both occasions, that we took it from them on Friday and Sunday. It's a good feeling, you know, when the opposing team feels like they've got their best guy to finish the game and you're able to take it from them, especially at their place. That's always a good feeling. So, yeah, I mean, very important. And obviously for the race that we're in for the SEC, I mean, if you say that it's not a big deal, I mean, I think we're all fooling ourselves. It is a big deal.
Justin, you talked to us, and Coach Childress always takes them one game at a time, but with social media and kids being so aware, you're right there now, three of the top teams in the nation, LSU, Vanderbilt, A&M, all within half a game of each other. How do you not know what's going on about that if you're a player?
I think they do. I think they're aware. And we do. The only thing we can control is how we play, but I think all of our guys are aware of that and have been for most part of the year. And we don't ever want to, you know, the teams that we're up against in that race are two of the best teams in the country. So, and we feel like we're in that with them. So, we don't try to dodge it by any means, but just knowing full well that the only thing that we can control is controlling how well Texas A&M plays. And our guys have done an incredible job of that, and you strive for it every year with a coach of just being able to control what you can control, and you want your players to be able to do that, but it's a lot harder said than done. I mean, I have a hard time doing it, and I'm a lot older than those guys are, so they've done an amazing job of doing that, and I wouldn't expect them to do anything else other than that.
I guess also, do you think that the SEC your three teams are feeding off that you guys are so good feeding off each other?
Gosh, I don't know. Being in the stadium with LSU, I think the two of us were feeding off of each other during that series, but it's kind of hard, you know, unless you're there with that team, to really know how, you know, if they're feeding off of it or if we're feeding off of it. I just think, you know, we're all trying to play as good as we possibly can. And, you know, I have a hard time answering that question, whether we're feeding off of each other. I just know we're trying to get as many wins as we can get.
Okay.
What's the schedule like this week with finals? Obviously, no midweek game. What's the practice schedule like going into this weekend's, sounds crazy, but final home regular season series?
Yeah, it's kind of snuck up on us, and I think that's a good thing. When it sneaks up on you, that means that you're probably doing things at a pretty successful clip. The guys have a banquet tonight that they have to go, that they're going to the BCA banquet, and then we gave them the day off today. We'll do something light tomorrow. Wednesday will be a little more of a heavy practice, and we'll see some live pitching probably as well. And then Thursday we'll go through our conventional practice that we go through on Thursday in preparation. But I think the off week could not have come at a better time for us. We emptied out all the barrels. I mean, I know Matt Kent could use a rest. Mark Eckert could use a rest. Ty Schlotman could use a rest. Andrew Benson could use a rest. I think all those guys, you know, they for our relievers, I think they all could use the much-needed break. And for our students, you know, just with finals coming up, I mean, this is a big week for them. And to say that doesn't, you know, there's a human element to all this that, you know, there's a little more extra stress on these guys. From that standpoint, there's more hours being put in from an academic standpoint right now. You know, they've got a lot going on in their world, so I'm glad we've got the Tuesday off.
Well, I've got you with it only two regular season series left in the SEC tournament, getting kind of close to the postseason here. What is the status exactly, or as much as you can tell us, of Tyler Stubblefield? I mean, there's been talk that he's been throwing pitches. Is he possibly going to make some sort of comeback this season?
I think we'd be it would be really optimistic of us to think that he's going to pitch any time before the SEC tournament. I think that would be overly optimistic, actually. I think that's the earliest, if at all, you'll see him. He's long tossing this week right now. He feels good. I think he would like to go a little faster than we're going with him, but there's no way that we can put him in jeopardy. You know, we have to be the grown-ups, and our trainers and our medical staff have to be the professionals in this deal and make sure that he is completely recovered. Because you don't want to set back with any injury, you know, because you don't want to ever put that doubt in the back of their mind that they're going to get healthy again. So we'll be very, very cautious with him. And he's up to 90 feet right now. I think long tossing, he feels good. Watching him throw, it looks good. But I think just anything short of him pitching before the SEC tournament would be overly optimistic.
Well, there we go. Thank you, Coach, for the information. This week, no midweek game to hype up this week. We'll be over at Bluebell Park for the weekend series. Coach, thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, guys. Take care.
See, they're getting close to the end.
Yeah, I think it's also, you just never know about other teams, but it'd be interesting. I think coaches would rather be home the weekend or having finals as opposed to going the road. I don't know if there's a Thursday night SEC game, but can you imagine having finals and have to fly out on Wednesday? That'd be kind of tough for any baseball team.
Someone texted us, Mitchell Now is named SEC Player of the Week, but in your opinion, who had the bigger week, Now or Kent? That's a good question, because to me, I would say that Kent did, only because the bigger week, I think, for statistics, everything was Mitchell Now. I mean, you don't do what he did this week very often. He was 700 on base for the week, 615 batting average for the week, 8 RBIs, 3 runs, stolen base, 2 doubles, 6 walks, all this stuff. Yeah, but on a mental side, I can't help but think it was Matt Kent. Anytime you get moved from a starting job into the bullpen, at least the perception is that that's a little bit of a demotion. You know, they can channel it however they want, saying that, you know, they want him to be able to use more situations, and he has a different arm, kind of arm than the other guys they have, and that's all true, but it at least has, at least appears like an emotion. But to have the success that he did coming out of the pen has to be great for him. So I think on an emotional, you know, moving forward level, I would say Matt Kent.
And I think if they don't have him, I agree with Sealy, they might go 2-2 this week.
Yeah.
And I think
he was a warrior
particularly
against the midweek game.
So I'm thinking you lose on Texas State, and then you lose the getaway game at Tennessee, and you do what you do, taking care of 2 or 3 on the road in SEC play. But still, I think if Matt Kent's not there this week, I agree with Sealy, they go 2-2, and that's not getting it done.
No, but they had him, and they didn't, and they are getting it done.
But this but logic, you can't say. Logic, they were 4-0. Bottom line is they're 4-0.
Keep winning, right? They're like the Astros. As long as you keep winning, it's all working.
We'll keep talking about them. They keep winning.
Absolutely. All right, let's go to break. When we come back, it'll be time for the high school report. So stay with us. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone 102.7 FM.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7. College Station police were given an explanation why there was gunfire early Sunday morning in a residential neighborhood that left one dead and two injured.
According to the arrest report, 39-year-old Ronald McNeil told officers he and a friend were at a party at 3 in the morning when he heard racial slurs. McNeil stated after things began getting intense, he walked across the street to his house and got his .40 caliber pistol from underneath his mattress. Outside his house, McNeil saw his friend being assaulted, so he started running towards him, and at the same time he tried to load a round in his hand. Gun. When he got to his friend, McNeil said the gun accidentally fired once, and he started running after those involved in the assault. When he began to open a backyard gate, McNeil said he had his finger on the trigger, and he accidentally fired several more rounds. McNeil was arrested for the murder of 19-year-old Lacey LaRose of College Station, shooting one man in the leg and another in the arm, deadly conduct for a round that hit his house, and possessing a gun less than 5 years after he was released from prison following a felony conviction, which involved illegal drugs from Bastrop County. Bill Oliver, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
Two Aggies are dead and two others injured after a one-car accident early Sunday morning. State Trooper Jimmy Morgan says the accident happened around 1 in the morning, 2 miles south of Carlos.
Unit 1 was traveling northwest on FM 244, entered to a sharp curve, was unable to negotiate the curve and left the roadway, and then striking a tree.
The driver, 20-year-old Alexis Emu of Killeen, and one of the passengers, Corinthia Cunningham Williams, 22, of Brookshire, were both pronounced dead at the scene. Renee Contreras, 20, from Kyle, and Tyra Preston, 20, from Houston, are still hospitalized. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone FM 102.7.
At Schlitterbahn, there's so much for my family to do. We need a checklist. Miles of slides, rivers, and waves? Check. Plus, Schlitterbahn welcomes picnics and has free parking and tubes. Estimated savings of $100? Check. We also love how we can float the day away and enjoy so much family fun together. Packing our summer with amazing memories? Definitely check. Hold on to every moment at Schlitterbahn.
Get discounted tickets and plan your stay at Schlitterbahn.com.
Howdy, Coach Gary Blair inviting you to a celebration dinner and auction presented by Mac Resource Computer on Thursday, May the 7th at the Expo Complex, benefiting Special Olympics and other charities. Doors open at 6 and $10 will get you dinner and drinks. Go to CoachBlairCharities.org for more. Special thanks to Mac Resource, Chili Fest, BB&T, Jack Hilliard Distributing, KBTX, and Sports Radio 1150 The Zone.
If you work for a living and think you're the best at your chosen profession, here's your chance to prove it. Nominations are now open for the 15th year of Best of the Brazos Valley. We're currently accepting nominations in over 120 categories for the best in food, services, and places in the Brazos Valley. To nominate your business or your favorite business, go to bestofthebrazos.com. Don't miss your chance to be listed on the ballot. Go to bestofthebrazos.com.
You are a smart person. You know what side the butter goes on. You can't help but bark up the right tree. You even know who let the dogs out. So in your search for the perfect job, why aren't you using AggieLandHelpWanted.com, where smart people like you know the easy way to find a local job? Millions of other smart people know they can upload their resume for free in just minutes. Plus, it's smart and mobile-friendly, just like that science guy. So, smart person, use that freakishly large noodle and find a job on AggieLandHelpWanted.com. Long name, amazing results.
Talk about your favorite local teams with your favorite local hosts. 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays on Zone FM 102.7.
All right.
And Sports Radio 1150.
Defense! Defense!
Now it's time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Welcome back. Robert Bloom joined by Larry Bowen. Time for the High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer, proudly supporting the youth of our community. Larry, what's going on?
Tell you what,
you got your scorebook out.
Yeah,
you're ready to go.
Yeah, I'm serious. We're going to get right to it because our guest today is A&M Consolidated Softball Coach Rusty Irwin, and Rusty's kind enough to take some time away from practice. He's still practicing because his team's still in the playoffs, so he feels good about that. I don't know if he feels good about talking to us, but I know he feels good about the team being in the playoffs. Last week, the Lady Tigers played the bi-district series, a best 2 out of 3, and they swept Waco University. They won the first game 3-1. Really dramatic comeback in the sixth inning of that game. And then on Friday, they won the second game of the series 2-1. They were nice enough to avoid the if game. And, of course, that's always the sports writer's worst nightmare. So we appreciate him doing that. Coach, first time since 2010 for Consolidated to make the second round of the playoffs. Can you talk about just what your kids did last week and just the fact that, I mean, they got to really feel good about themselves as you guys move into the next round?
Well, they're on a high right now. First, I want to appreciate y'all, recognizing the softball. It is always good to be playing in May. So, last week we just pitched well, played good defense, and got a couple timely hits.
There's a couple of things I wanted you to tell our listeners, because you told me after the game Thursday night, Rusty, and I thought you were just joking with me, but then you said you were serious. I thought your team didn't play particularly well. No errors, but a couple of kind of mental breakdowns on defense, and really hadn't done much of anything with the bats, and you trailed University 1-0 going to the bottom of the sixth, and then you guys just had a huge inning, just clutched up and got three runs and won the game. And afterwards, when I interviewed you, you said that as your team came in from the field to the dugout in the middle of the sixth, you told them that you guys were gonna score three runs and get three outs and go to the house. Now, I'm wondering if you have any other stock advice, or maybe after the playoffs, if you want to go to Las Vegas or something. But if you can tell the future that good, I mean, that's not bad. They did exactly what you said.
Well, I guess I should have said five runs and made it a little even instead of three.
Talk about the comeback, though, Rusty, because really the first 5.5 innings, they weren't terrible, but that certainly wasn't the best that your team can play. And considering the fact that none of these kids really had been part of winning a playoff game, I thought that was a pretty impressive response, because they really did come through in the bottom of the sixth inning. I think we might have lost Rusty.
Nope.
At practice. So I'll tell you about the bottom of the sixth inning. I asked Rusty about this, Aubrey, because I thought things just did not look good for them at all. They had a couple of hits through five innings, and in the two innings that they got hits, in the first inning, they failed to get a squeeze bunt down, which, in softball is a pretty big deal. You get a runner on, you got to get them over, particularly when you're having trouble scoring. And then in the next inning, they got a leadoff hit and had that runner picked off. So it seemed like everything was going wrong that could go wrong. But they came up in the sixth. They had the top of their order up, and you mentioned the scorebook. I'm looking at it right here. They got a couple of hits from Paige Kaspetsky and Kendall Faust to get them going. And the funny thing about that is Kendall tried to bunt Paige over to second base to get that tying run into scoring position, and she fouled the bunt off. Well, her previous time up, she had tried to bunt and could not get it down, even fouled off a bunt on the third strike. But after that, she got a hit. She stole second. Next thing you know, there's a walk, there's a wild pitch, a fielder's choice, and then a really big hit from Jessica Almond. I talked to Jessica after the game on Friday over in Waco because she was a big hero in that one, got a key hit. And she got a big hit to give them an extra run in the bottom of the sixth in the opener of the series. And I thought that was huge. And it's interesting, after that game, I talked to a couple of the players, and I talked to Rusty, and they were just the players in particular were really lifted. They had not won a playoff game since 2010, and they just got so much confidence. I thought it was a pretty close matchup between University and Consolidated, but I think the confidence that they gained from that late rally, we may have him back on. Let's see, Rusty, are you back with us?
I think so.
Okay, thanks. I was just telling my co-host Aubrey that the confidence that your team gained from that sixth inning in the first game really carried over, and I thought your team was really impressive on Friday in the second game of the series, and I think a team with the kind of talent you guys have with that kind of confidence could be dangerous in the playoffs.
Oh, definitely. Going back to that sixth inning, you know, I knew I had my leadoff, Kopetsky, and three seniors. That's why I felt good about it. I thought, these seniors are going to make something happen now, and then, you know, see what happens from there. And it worked out. And you're right, just the Almond, little shortstop, is playing wonderful at shortstop. Hasn't hit a whole lot, but she's really been hitting. She's been putting the ball in play, just been hitting it right at people probably the last month. And she finally got a couple to fall. Yeah, I would say our confidence is as high as it's been since I've been here, about 3 years.
And you guys are going to the area around. You're going to play Tomball Memorial, and I want to ask you a little bit about that. You'll play a best of three with Tomball Memorial, which obviously you like the series rather than a single game. You're going to start over at Memorial on Friday at 6:30. And that tells me you must have lost the flip, because I know you said you like to start at home and give the other team the bus ride, although Magnolia is not too bad of a bus ride.
Yeah, it's not too far.
And then you guys will come back and play. I don't know if it's set. It was 11, then it was noon. Maybe we switch it to 11:30. When are you going to play that second game?
We're going to start at 12 noon.
Okay, going to start at high noon. If a third game is necessary, it'll be 30 minutes after that. And I'm interested, I don't know how much, Rusty, you've had been able to scout Memorial. When I looked on the UIL website, they were the fourth seed from that district. But obviously it's a pretty strong district, and even though they were a fourth seed, they played a team out of the greater Houston area and beat them like 17-1 in their bi-district game. So I would think, and I don't know if you guys know much about them, if you've seen them, if you've played them, but I would think it's a pretty good matchup with you guys and Tomball Memorial.
I think it will be. They have a pitcher that has committed or signed with U of H, so she's pretty good. So, you know, if we can get to her a little bit, we'll be fine. That district was dead even. Brenham, all of them were all about the same. And so, you know, they're not going to be someone that can come in here and just blow us away. We're going to be able to compete and have a good shot.
Well, Rusty, I appreciate you making the time for us and taking time from practice, and especially since I'm going to hop in the truck and drive over there and do some more interviews as soon as we get through with this. I want to remind the listeners that a best-of-three series with Tomball Memorial, you guys will play Friday over there at 6:30 in the opener of the series. We ought to mention the reason you're doing that is because of the tax testing, because I imagine if all other things being equal, you probably might have tried for Thursday and Friday again, but you had to wait until Friday. So you'll start over there, and then you're going to come back and play at home. And there's probably some comfort in coming home and knowing that you're playing to go to the next round or to keep your season alive. But you'll play noon. Of course, you would like to win one over there on Friday night and win the game at noon and not bother with the third game. But want to make sure the listeners know that that's coming up. And I thought it was pretty impressive and pretty good as we finish up, Rusty, that you guys and Brian both won your playoff series in two games. And I thought that was pretty good for District 18-5A.
Yeah, you know, I felt like our district was a tough district. The first top three teams, they all won, you know, the closest games, but everybody won in advance. So, yeah, it's, you know, we like where we're at.
Okay. That's Rusty Irwin. Where he's at and where the Lady Tigers are is in the second round of the state playoffs. Coach, thanks for your time, and we appreciate it. We'll look forward to seeing how the Lady Tigers do this week against Tomball Memorial.
All right. Thank you.
There you go, Larry.
Aubrey, I'll tell you what, man. We got last year, Consol and Brian, both teams did not make the playoffs in softball. This year, they're both back in. Not only they're both back in, they both won their bi-district series, so they're still playing this week. The baseball playoffs start this week, so we got a lot of the spring sports coming up.
There you go. You'll hear about it each day on the High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer, proudly supporting the youth of our community. We'll go to break. We'll come back and wrap up with the news. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone 102.7 FM.
If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done, and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Norman G. Tractor. At Norman G. Tractor, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. Norman G. Tractor has the new Kubota L2501 HST 25 horsepower tractor with four-wheel drive, Kubota front end loader, 5-foot land pride shredder, and box blade with teeth. Priced with a $300 factory rebate, $700 implement rebate, and a $500 cash rebate, making your price $18,895 or $247 per month. Norman G. Tractor asks you why buy used when you can buy used with prices and payments as low as these. Norman G. Tractor is aggressively pricing all equipment bought with your new tractor, so now is the time to make the drive to Norman G. Tractor. Voted best of the Brazos since 2002, remember to shop the internet specials too at normangtractor.com. Norman G. Tractor, located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Norman G., Texas, and remember, nobody beats Norman G. Tractor.
Every doctor in every field of medicine wants to be a patient's first choice. Every health and wellness professional wants to be a patient's first choice. To make this happen, you first need a partner capable of delivering a powerful marketing message. That partner is Brazos Wellness Magazine, a local publication filled exclusively with local articles. For more information about Brazos Wellness Magazine, contact Brian Broadcasting or email sam@brianbroadcasting.com.
At Schlitterbahn, there's so much for my family to do. We need a checklist. Miles of slides, rivers, and waves? Check. Plus, Schlitterbahn welcomes picnics and has free parking and tubes. Estimated savings of $100? Check. We also love how we can float the day away and enjoy so much family fun together. Packing our summer with amazing memories? Definitely check. Hold on to every moment at Schlitterbahn.
Get discounted tickets and plan your stay at Schlitterbahn.com.
Moms love healthy gifts from Massage Envy Spa.
For me, this is my day to relax, find balance, and feel loved. The love part is covered. Massage Envy Spa will handle the rest.
Healthier gifts mean happier moms. Massage Envy Spa now has complete Mother's Day packages for under $100. That's a massage and facial. Show mom just how much you appreciate her. Visit Massage Envy Spa College Station in the Tower Point Shopping Center off Highway 6 at William D. Fitch. Hurry in to Massage Envy Spa. Mother's Day is Sunday, May 10th.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Moms love healthy gifts from Massage Envy Spa.
For me, this is my day to relax, find balance, and feel loved. The love part is covered. Massage and V-Spa will handle the rest.
Healthier gifts mean happier moms. Massage and V-Spa now has complete Mother's Day packages for under $100. That's a massage and facial. Show mom just how much you appreciate her. Visit Massage and V-Spa College Station in the Tower Point Shopping Center off Highway 6 at William D. Fitch. Hurry in to Massage and V-Spa. Mother's Day is Sunday, May 10th.
Hello.
For more information on the Zone 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150, visit zone1150.com now.
Is it all in that pretty little head of yours? What goes on in that place in the dark? Well, I used to know a girl, and I could have sworn that her name was Veronica.
Welcome back.
Sorry. Star Wars
bit.
Sort of.
We had a Star Wars bit earlier. Aubrey Bloom joined by Darren Benson. It's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here to wrap up our first official FM show, Darren.
The first official one. Wow.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah, yeah.
That's a big day. Well,
they were on
May the 4th day.
Right,
as well,
right, right. So. It's no better day to kick off our new.
I don't know. Cinco de Mayo tomorrow may have been a
well. We had to get a good one out of the way before we all go downhill tomorrow. We already somehow we and Primo already promised to do the show from Northgate if the Astros make the postseason, with which each passing day seems more and more likely. So we don't know how that might happen, but we had to get that one out of the way. We had to get a good one in before
good.
We
all
go
right.
crazy tomorrow.
So we've got it done up until this point, anyway.
Yeah, don't blow it for us. You're here for the save.
I don't know about that.
It's a save opportunity.
So coming up in the news, we've got lots of things to tell you about. Of course, the biggest story that we had in the paper online yesterday, in the paper today, was the shooting death of a Blinn College student. Very tragic story. We're following the story. We'll have some updates today as far as developments on the police investigation, things we're learning about the student, Lacey LaRose. She was at a party Saturday night and early Sunday morning when apparently there was an argument, and somebody who was at the party went back to his house, which was across the street, and got a gun. And this is all alleged by police. Then returned to the party and started, it seems like, shooting randomly. Police have arrested someone, Ronald McNeil. He's a 39-year-old College Station resident. In addition to the Blinn College student who was pronounced dead at the hospital, there were two other people who were injured from, one had a gunshot wound, one had bullet shrapnel. They've both been released from the hospital. But we're following up today with, like I said, the police investigation. The girl's family and her friends, one of her aunts has set up a GoFundMe campaign to start a foundation in Lacey's honor. The foundation will help care for stray animals, which is one of Lacey's many passions. If you looked at her Facebook page, you can see that she's just got all kinds of pictures of animals that she's come across in her 19 young years. So, again, very tragic story. We are following up. We'll have the latest with details. We do have some details posted now about the police report. Apparently, the suspect who was arrested, according to the police report, told investigators that the gun discharged accidentally, possibly misfired unintentionally. So there's that. We'll also, in other news, we'll have from Rob Clark an interview with William Clark Green, a singer-songwriter who performs Tuesday night at Hurricane Harry's. Rob's interviews with singers and entertainers are always fun. I enjoy reading those. So take a look at William Clark Green. We'll tell you what you need to know if you want to go see him Tuesday night at Hurricane Harry's. We'll also have we told you in Sunday's paper about the Blinn College presidential finalists. There are four presidential candidates.
Is that including me?
It does not include you. You have to be the write-in vote.
Okay.
But they are holding candidate forums today and tomorrow for all four of them. There's a forum. There's forums. Each candidate is having two forums, one in Bryan, one in Brenham. They're being teleconferenced into the other Blinn campuses. So there are a total of two Two candidate forums today in Bryan, and two for the other candidates in will be tomorrow. So Sam Peschick is covering those. We'll tell you what they had to say, what kind of questions were posed, what sort of their vision is, you know, and then the decision then will be gathered from the, you know, the Board of Trustees, I imagine, will make the decision based on some of that public input. Also, we'll tell you about the new principal for Rudder High School was named today. They've had an interim since the old principal announced his resignation. Benny Mays, he is the principal at Schultz Junior High School in Waller. He's been in education since the early 2000s, I guess. He was a football coach, a track coach. He has a master's degree and a bachelor's degree from Prairie View A&M. He did attend Blend College, but he's been hired as the new principal at Rudder High School. The school board announced that this
morning.
Good for him. So, yeah. So lots of stuff. And, of course, my always on Monday, I remind people if they miss stuff from over the weekend to head online and see it. There's lots of events in the spring especially, and this weekend was no different. So we've got a photo gallery from the Urban Slide, which was in College Station over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. Did you go to that? Did you take the kids?
I stayed away from that.
I was intrigued by this. If I'd have been in town, I would have just pulled up a couple lawn chairs and a cooler and just watched people fly by.
It probably was pretty entertaining. It was a 1,000-foot water slide, sort of like a slip and slide.
Yeah.
They actually closed down part of a street out by Wolfpin Creek. But, you know, the thing that kept me away from it was they said expect long lines and big crowds. And so I just thought, okay, I don't need to do that.
But what we had photos, is that what you said?
We have photos. Dave McDermott was out there, gallery of that. We also have a photo gallery of Lemonade Day was yesterday.
We couldn't get Dave McDermott to, like, go down it wearing a GoPro?
No.
Next time.
We did not ask Dave to do that.
Next time.